Alrighty then, we are live here at Deliverance Temple Ministries, 2101 West Chestnut Expressway here in the beautiful Queen City of the Ozarks. I am Mark Dixon, and this is DTM Transformation Hour. The Bible admonishes us to be transformed, how? By the renewing of our minds. And so we've come to renew our minds today. We've come to renew our minds. We've come to hear what God has for us and to, not only hear, but, you know, the Old Testament word Shema is the word for hear, right? And so when we see in Deuteronomy 6, for example, where it says, "Hear, O Israel," right? That word not only means to hear, to physically, I hear the words that you're saying, but it means to position yourself in such a way that you are ready to both hear and obey what is about to be said. And so when God commands Israel there, "Hear, O Israel, I'm about to say something that you need to understand and obey." Why? Because it's in your best interest. It's in your best interest. Good morning, Sister Amanda. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Elisa. Good to see you, ma'am. Good morning, Sister Sonia. The saints are coming in. Praise God. And so we come to hear and obey. Part of the reason that we get into so much trouble, not you, but, you know, your cousin and them, is that they may hear, but they don't obey. They have not positioned themselves and readied themselves both to hear and obey. Good morning, Sister Looney. Good morning, Pastor Carol. Good to see you. And so we don't want to be those folks who just, you know, are hearers but not doers, as James tells us. You know, we in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. So I get a little bit of Moses and then jump on over to James, and they're both telling you, you need to hear and obey what the Lord is saying to you. And so this morning we're going to continue. Let me get my trusty sidekick audio going here, and we'll just get moving. Praise God, we've got the audio working, we've got the Facebook Live working, we are ready to do this thing. As one of the people I follow a bit on Periscope, Minister Tamika Reed says, let's go to work. She gets ready to teach, she said, let's go to work. So let's go to work this morning. We are in the third week of our series, which is entitled The Work of Harvest. The Work of Harvest. Now, you know, I tell you, this is a timely message, I am sure. Some things that are happening here at Deliverance Temple, some things that are happening throughout the land. Slow down, Mark. Let me tell you this. No matter what the calendar on your wall says, no matter what the chronometer on your wrist says, that's a fancy word for watch, y'all. No matter what it says, how many of you understand that the one who really knows what time it is God? And if he says it's harvest time, guess what? It's harvest time. I don't care if there's snow on the ground. It's harvest time if he says it's harvest time. And he's sending this word to us here at Deliverance Temple and to all of you watching live and by replay to let you know that the time of harvest is now, but that there is work involved. It's not like I'm just going to sit on the couch eating Doritos and bonbons and harvest is just going to magically appear. That's not how that works. There are principles involved. We talked about that a little bit. And God established the main principle, the big principle. Good morning, Brother Spilker. All the way back in Genesis 8, he says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, you're going to have that. Sure as you have night and day, heat and cold, you're going to have seed time and harvest. Now, we talk a lot about planting seed and sowing seed, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that today as well. But, you know, that's only part of it. If you're planting seed, but you never harvest, then you're missing out on the full intention of the practice. God never told us, just sow, just sow, just keep sowing, just sow. That's all you gotta do, just sow. No, there's also the reaping. There's the harvest. And God intends for us to reap the harvest for which we have sown. And we hopefully want to do that. Hopefully we're not averse to doing that or what have you. And so I'm going to save part of what I'm looking at here for my finale on next week. We're going to end this series on next week if the Lord says the same. And I want to talk a little bit about, just a preview here, we're not going to go there today, but I want to talk a little bit about management. I want to talk about managing God's economy within the context of harvest, because management of the harvest is part of the work. Oh, I lost somebody right there. You know, maybe I lost some of you when I said work. I know it's a four-letter word, but y'all forgive me, up in church using four-letter words. I said work. Oh! But there is work involved. I also told you from the very beginning, you don't need to be scared of the work, because Paul tells us in Philippians that it's God in you that's at work, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's God in you. It's Jesus himself that strengthens you to do the work. We can do all things, Paul tells us in that same letter to the Philippians, through Christ who strengthens us. So we don't have to be afraid. Jesus himself tells us that the work is to believe. And we know also from Scripture that he's given to every one of us a measure of faith. And so we have the capacity to believe. You know, you can look out, and I'm a farm boy, you know. If you don't know, now you know. Raised on a farm. Good morning, Sister Roz. And so, you know, you can look out on fertile fields, 50 acres of fertile soil out there. But I guarantee you it won't produce anything, nothing you can use anyway, maybe some weeds, some rocks, but it won't produce anything you need or desire without planting seed in it. Just won't happen. And so you can drive by every day, man, that black soil out there looks so rich and fertile and wonderful. Oh my goodness. Wonder why it doesn't ever produce anything. I never see anything growing out there. Well, what did you plant? Oh, I didn't plant anything. I didn't sow anything. I just thought because it's beautiful soil, it would just produce. That's not how this works, folks. And so on next week, we'll finish up by talking about, because we've talked about principles, we've talked about some preparation, getting that seed, that soil ready for the seed. But I want to talk next week a bit about management, about the economy of God. Because once, you know, if you're able even to reap, to harvest, you want to be able to manage then what he has given you. And this is another way that the enemy tries to get the upper hand on you, even after you've won. Even after you've got the harvest. Now, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about those lotto winners, those poor folks. You know, you win $10 million and 2 years later, you're living in a trailer. And what happened? You got the harvest, but you had zero management skills. You didn't know how to manage the blessing that came your way, and it was soon gone. Somebody say a fool and his money are soon parted. So I'm not trying to, you know, say that you're a fool, but obviously you acted foolishly if you're broke now and you had $10 million a couple of years ago. Something wrong with that picture, isn't it? That's right, mother. Something is wrong with that picture. And so we don't want to be those folk. So that's next week. Today, I got to hit the ground running. I got to move quickly. Run on, mother said, run on. I want to help us to avoid a few pitfalls today. And so we want to take a moment to look at some reasons why we fail to harvest. Reasons why we fail to reap. We talked about principles first up. And one of the things you need to understand is that when you're aware of a principle, but that principle is not operational in your life, it's not being fruitful in your life, something's going wrong somewhere. And so we hear preaching about sowing a seed and getting a harvest. That's great. But very oftentimes, there is very little talk about reasons why you don't receive, reasons why you fail to harvest or reap. And I want to talk a little bit about that today because I want you to reap everything that God has for you. I want you to benefit from every seed sown maximally, optimally. I want us to go up together. I believe that's what time it is. And I want to encourage somebody that if you have failed before, if you've been disappointed before in your harvest, that's okay. That was then, this is now. God is sending a word to help you turn those things around. Somebody say, it's not too late. Yeah, it's not too late. I know some of us have had some birthdays and that kind of thing, and some of us have had a lot of birthdays. Ain't that right, Pastor Gwen? Some of us have had a number of birthdays. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about, Dr. Tate used to say. But no matter what has happened up to this point, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I want you to be encouraged today that God is sending his word to correct, to inform, to instruct, to direct you in the way that's going to be for your very best. How many of y'all understand and believe, we'll talk about this maybe for a second here too, that God actually intends good things for you. That he actually wants the best for you. See, because I'm going to tell you right now, you're in a world of hurt if you are not convinced. I mean, really convinced, down in your knower, as my sister Linda used to say, that he loves you with an unconditional and everlasting love, that he is kindly intended toward you. That's what the Greek word eudokia means, for his good pleasure there in Philippians 2. That means he is kindly intended towards you. His intentions towards you are good. They're kind. You need another witness? You know the Old Testament scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Many of you love that one, as well you should. He knows the plans that he has for you. They're plans for your well-being. To give you a future and a hope, not for your calamity, not for your destruction. But you need to be convinced of that. Otherwise, Otherwise, your own mind will work against you. Do you understand that sometimes the enemy is the enemy in me? Yeah, yeah. So we don't want to. Things can be hard enough as they are. You don't want to be working against yourself too. So sometimes we think that we gotta create everything ourselves. If I didn't think of it, it's not a good idea. But I'm not that guy. I will take an idea from you in a second if it's going to benefit me. Right? Guess what? I don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. I hope I'm not. If I'm the smartest guy in the room, I'm probably in the wrong room. What am I going to learn if I'm the smartest fella there? I want to be around some folk who know what I don't. Been where I'm trying to go. Make sense? So that's just a little freebie right there, you know, for you hard-headed folk, you know. Let that go. So this morning I want to look at some things that I borrowed from Dr. Mike Murdoch. Some of you know Dr. Mike. Been around a long time, and he is famous for his teachings on wisdom, famous for his prolific book writing. He's probably written 100 books at least, probably more than that, I don't know. And one of his books that I really find valuable is a book called 31 Reasons People Do Not Receive Their Financial Harvest. 31 Reasons People Do Not Receive Their Financial Harvest by Dr. Mike Murdoch. And I have borrowed from that this morning to look at some reasons why we fail to harvest. Now, let me tell you quickly this, though. Although the title of his book is Receiving Financial Harvest, I want you to understand that we're talking about all kinds of harvest this month. That these principles apply not just to money, but they apply to other areas of your life as well in which you desire a harvest. Sometimes you don't need money. You need that fever to break. Huh? Sometimes you don't exactly need money. You need favor with somebody who can get the thing done. That's a harvest. Okay, so I want you to see that these principles that we're talking about, the principles in the Word of God, are good for whatever ails you, right? That's why I love principles as opposed to just formulas. Now, let me quickly explain the difference as I understand it. And that is that a formula may work for Fred, but not for me. You say, well, you know, it's a formula like a recipe. You put these ingredients in and put it in the oven for 350 degrees for 45 minutes, and you're going to get a cake that looks just like Fred's cake. So when you burn yours, you say, well, what? Wait a minute. I did everything that Fred did. I followed the formula exactly. But you fail to understand that on your trifling oven. When you set it for 350, it's really 600. Your thermostat don't work at all. And after 20 minutes, you're smelling burnt cake and wondering what we're... I obeyed the formula. But the principle, here's the principle. Sometimes they will put a little bit of a principle into the recipe. right? Good morning, AC. Good to see you, my man. And the principle may sound a little something like this. Mix all this together and put it in the oven at 350 degrees for 35 minutes or until golden brown on top. There's the principle at work. At the end of the day, this thing's supposed to look golden brown. Now, if you put yours in there and it look golden brown in 25 minutes, you better pull it out. Make sure the middle's done. Stick a toothpick in it. Those are principles at work there. See, those are principles at work. See, a principle may look a little different in your situation than in mine, but we're going to get the result. But if I'm trying to be Gwen Marshall, good luck with that. I did everything she did, and the people booed me off the stage. What? There's only one rocket, y'all. There's only one. I ain't her. Well, I got up there and I said exactly what I heard Bishop say. I did it just like he did it. And they just looked at me. Nobody even said amen. No, bro. That's not you. You're not him. You ain't got 60 years of anointing on you. What they tell you sometimes on those TV, don't try this at home. It won't go so well for you. So I want to go over somewhat quickly. I'm not going to get to all 31, by the way. Buy the book if you want to check out all of his work there. Because it's actually intended to be a 31-day mentorship course, that book is. And you take a chapter a day. So I'm going to give you a bunch in the next 30 minutes. So you're not going to get all 31, and you sure ain't going to get all the detail that you will with the book. But it's a great book. I highly recommend it. Should be on your shelf. Pull it down. And at least a couple of times a year, you probably need to just take that month and go through it. Make sure that you're on track. Make sure if something's off, hey, oh, that's principle number 17. That's what I'm not doing right there. Okay? Make sense? All right. So let's look at some reasons why we fail to harvest. Number one, we do not really, Brother Fred, say really. Really. We don't really believe that God wants us to prosper. Now, I know I'm at Deliverance Temple and all of y'all good people are just way on top of this thing, but somebody out there may have just, felt a little something hit them in the chest there, Minister Sylvester. They need to check their own heart and mind. Do I really believe that God wants me to prosper financially, physically? In my soul realm, that's my mind, my will, my emotions, my memories and imagination. Did I read and believe 3 John 2 when it said, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health? See, not just talking about money. Even as your soul prospers, my God. See, there's a balance to be struck there. Even as Pastor Glasper says, even as your soul prospers. Yeah. Are you prospering mentally, emotionally? Are you prospering in your will? Are you prospering in your memory and imagination? Or if we looked a little deeper, do we find a room with a locked door and say, no, you can't go in there? Because in there is everything that I've imagined about why God don't really love me and he don't really want me to prosper. Oh, we got to clean that room out, y'all, before we move on. We got to clean that room out before we can expect a great big harvest, because you're fighting against it in your own self. We really don't believe that God wants us to prosper. That's one. I'm going to move quickly, y'all. I'm not going to sit. I could sit here on each of these for about a half hour probably, but I'm not going to do it today. Number two, we don't dream or think big enough to require the harvest that we say we desire. I'll let that sit there for a second. How do I know that? Because we reverse talk everything that we say we want. We say we're dreaming about $1 million blessing, but we're talking in the bargain basement. Oh, wait a minute. That don't line up. That doesn't match. That doesn't agree. James said a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Well, I'm believing God for a supernatural increase in blessing. But if he don't do it, it's okay. I'm okay. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. And it's what? Blessing and cursing coming out the same mouth, James says. These things ought not to be. Y'all thought he's just talking about cussing somebody out. Sometimes we are cursing our own selves. Although we say we want God's best, we don't really think on that level. I hope to challenge somebody to just get their thinking up, to dream again. Instead of coming up with all the reasons why it won't work. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too black. I'm too white. I'm a girl. I'm a boy. I'm from Missouri.
We're saying no.
No. Wherever you from? Because there's some broke, poor, busted, disgusted folk. Where you from too? But don't you join in with them? Don't you get to thinking and talking like they thinking and talking? You talking about you going? Oh, help, Lord. I'm going to go here, though. Bishop can fire me later. Yeah, we're going to pay off the mortgage. I'm going to give $3 today. First Lady said, just keep it. You just keep that $3. You probably need it more than we do. Fred said you got five on. So, some of y'all caught that. Okay, all right. Now listen, I ain't mad at you if three's all you got. The widow gave two mites, and Jesus said she gave more than all of y'all. You're giving out of your abundance. She's giving out of her lack. She's giving all. So, I'm not just downplaying the dollar amount, but I'm here talking about number two, which is we don't dream or think big enough to require the harvest we're talking about. Why am I going to bless you with $1 million When you're satisfied giving $3. And you got a whole lot more than $3 now. That's what I'm saying now. But you've been giving that same $3 for the last 10 years. Talking about the Lord understands you, doggone right he does. He sure does understand. He understands that you ain't getting no $1 million blessing off that $3 seed when he's blessed you so much more than that. Your thinking is not on a level of the harvest you're talking about. That's why I know you don't really believe it. Number three, we errantly, that means you're in error as you think this way, you errantly believe that our harvest depends on our job, our friends, or our family. Let me help somebody out real quick right there. You making $10 an hour at your job, you say, well, I ain't never going to be no millionaire. You right. You never will. You just said it. You just declared it. But how many people was working at a $10 hour job or no job when God gave them an idea? And they told somebody about this idea that God gave them, and they said, my God, man, that's amazing. Listen, you need to talk to this fellow over here. Well, I don't know him. I know him. But I don't have a job. Don't matter. You come with this idea and tell him about it. And next thing you know, I'm looking at you on the cover of Forbes magazine. Yeah. Wait a minute, but he didn't have a job. He didn't have a job, but he understood I don't depend on my job. I don't depend on my friends or even family. They love me, but they broke too. I need the one who can give me the harvest. Let me just plant real quick right there. Isaiah 55, which says he gives seed to the sower. If you're not a sower, don't look for seed. But if you are a sower, you might not even have a job, but you're a sower. You might not have supportive friends and family, but you're a sower. The seed he gives you may be an idea that nobody ever thought of. A way to do something differently. Do you know right now that there are companies out there that pay tens of thousands of dollars every year to consultants to tell them how to do something better that they're already doing really well? Did you hear what I just said? I mean, they're already doing it. Well, they're already making millions every year doing this thing. Why would I pay $100,000 to this guy to come in and tell me, well, if you did this a little bit, if you cut it, listen, I know you're buying your bottles from this guy, but if you bought your bottles from this guy, you could save 10 cents on each bottle times a million bottles. Oh, well, yeah. I just made more than I'm paying you by the savings you just got from me there. Happens all the time. See, they value what God has given you. Oh Lord, help Lord God, right there. Okay, I just have to get with somebody. Maybe it's you, Sister Tina. I don't know. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you, Minister Rogers. It's probably you pulling on me, Keith. They value what God has put in you more than you value what God has put in you. Maybe I need to turn around on that one. Just walk away. Just walk away. I said they value what God has put in you more than you value what God has put in you. And if you'd ever just get to thinking about it right and understand, hey, This doesn't depend on my job. It doesn't depend on my friends or family. It depends on the God I serve and following his principles. Number four, I better move fast, huh? Now, you ain't going to get 31 today. You might get 10. You might get 10. I might get you a third of the way there. Yeah, she said five. I got more time than that. Hold on, friend. Number four, we don't respect the harvest that we say we desire. What you don't respect avoids you. You ever had somebody you just don't respect? Maybe at work, you got no respect for them. They done some crazy stuff and you just don't respect them. Is it any wonder I don't see you hanging out with them at lunchtime? Trying to be in their office every chance you get. Oh, I'm talking to somebody, I guess, huh? Why is that? Because you don't respect them. And you avoid what you don't respect. Guess what? Money's the same way. It avoids you when you don't respect it. Guess what? Health is the same way. Health avoids you. Wellness avoids you when you don't respect it. Yeah, I just came up your street and into your yard. I'm going to drop some mail on your front porch. You keep on disrespecting wellness. Keep on disrespecting money. And then wonder why it ain't never around, why it don't hang out with you. I better keep moving because that one hurt somebody, maybe me. Number five, we neglect to ask for the harvest. Now, I know this sounds real simple, but I asked. Did you? You know, some folks are just so full of pride. They don't ask nobody for nothing. And they tell that lie, you know that one, you've heard it. That lie that says, everything I got, I did myself. You a lie. Yeah, I just called you a lie. Everything I got on my own. Ain't nobody ever helped me do nothing. Yeah, okay. You a lie. It's just not true. And it's that same attitude right there. Good morning, Brother Marlon. Good to see you, sir. It's that same attitude right there that is going to keep you from receiving the harvest that you say you want. You won't even ask for it. That attitude of self-sufficiency. Let me tell you something. Oh, my God. This is a good one that the Holy Spirit dropped on me. I love this. He just gave me this morning, y'all. So this is hot off the press. Put this on your notes, Gwen. You can preach it at some other church, you know. All right. She said, hold on. Let me get my pen and paper. Holy Spirit said, watch out for the attitude of self-sufficiency. Well, ain't we supposed to be self-sufficient? Ain't that what we're talking? You're always telling me to grow up. Yeah, that's a little different to what I'm talking about here. Hold on. I'm talking about that prideful attitude of self-sufficiency. I can do this on my own. The Galatians found out about that. Paul in chapter 3 of that letter said, who has bewitched you? You acting all crazy like you're under a spell. Foolish Galatians. Start in the spirit. Now you think, oh, I got this. I can handle it from here, Jesus. No. Holy Spirit says, watch out for the attitude of self-sufficiency. Here it is. Here it is, Pastor Gwen. He said, instead, learn the secret of insufficiency. Wait a minute now. Insufficient? Ain't that what they said when that letter came from the bank about my check that bounced? No. Listen, he said sufficiency. He said, this is what I'm talking about, son. He said, you remember in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory is Christ in me. The sufficiency is about who's in me. Did you get that? So we need to move from self-sufficiency to insufficiency. My sufficiency is in Christ. My sufficiency is in his power. My sufficiency is in his wisdom. And he's in me. So I'm moving from self-sufficiency to insufficiency. And insufficient folk don't mind asking for help from the Lord. They don't mind asking him to show them what they can't see, to take them where they otherwise couldn't go, because his grace is sufficient for me. His strength, in fact, is made perfect in my weakness. When I realize that I ain't all that, I'm not the end all be all, and I come to depend upon him and find my sufficiency in him. Oh, now I'm getting somewhere, see? I'm about to reap a harvest now for sure. Because I got this thing straight. Number six. I told you, we might get to 10, maybe. We actually don't believe we deserve a harvest. Uh-oh. Coming down somebody's street right there. Because the truth be known, after you done danced in the aisle and rolled in the floor and said amen 3,000 times, you go home and look in the mirror and say, yeah, you don't deserve that. It ain't coming for you. Maybe it come to Mother Mabin because she pray all the time. She's real good, but not me. Maybe it'll come to pastor, of course, because I mean he's pastor. Of course it's gonna come to him, but not me. You know what I did last week and last year and last yeah, then too. We start reminding ourselves of all the reasons why we're undeserving. Instead of reminding ourselves of the one reason that we are deserving, because God has deemed us worthy by the blood of his son, Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've done or who you've been. So you need to get over that one real quick. If you really want the harvest, you need to jettison that whole notion that, well, I'm not worthy. I'm going to pray for a harvest, but it probably ain't going to come because I'm really not deserving of that, so I told you about that double talk, that instability. Number seven, you find, by the way, that some of these kind of overlap each other and work together against you. Some of you may find your name on 4, 5, or 10 of these principles. You're like, oh my God, yeah, I do all of those. No wonder I ain't getting no harvest. Number seven. We errantly rely on our own abilities instead of the supernatural power of God. I told you they kind of overlap. There's one that kind of overlaps. There again, we're trusting in self. Number eight, we fail to think or understand the greater influence and impact that our harvest can have on others. Oh, this is an important one, y'all. This is a really important one. See, now Bishop understands this, but some of y'all need to get a hold of this one. Let me say again, we fail to think or understand the greater influence and impact that our harvest can have on others. You think Bishop wanted to build a $1 million building just so he could say, I built a $1 million building? Did you think, oh, yeah, this is all about me? In fact, I'm changing the name of Deliverance Temple to Knox Temple. Because I have done this great thing. Yes, That building, that right, yeah, that's me. That's, yeah. No, it was because of the impact and influence that he saw this place having on thousands of other folk.
Amen. Amen.
It was never just about him. And so he can dare to ask for something big because he understands, like God told Abraham, that I'm blessing you to be a blessing. I'm blessing you for legacy.
Hallelujah.
For generations that come after you.
Hallelujah.
This isn't just about you here and now.
Hallelujah.
Otherwise, you know, a little one room that he had over on Division would have been enough.
Absolutely.
It would have been too big if it's just for him and his, you know, maybe his immediate family. That would have been too big. Say, like, man, we got way more room than we need over here. You selfish thing, you? No. He's looking for much greater impact and influence than that. And here's what you need to understand. Many people are not seeing the harvest in the kind of proportion that they really could see it because they're only thinking about themselves. Well, I can get by on $25,000 a year. I can make $25,000 stretch so far. Man, I tell you what. I'd be squeezing that every penny so you can hear Lincoln scream on that bad boy. No, I'm talking about the penny. She's squeezing real hard. Yeah. And it never occurred to you, maybe God wants to take you from 25,000 to 2 million. Not because you need it to get by. Because we all know you love ramen noodles. That's fine. You can have all the ramen noodles and every flavor you want. That's okay. But take the rest of that money.
Come on, sir.
And do something great for God with it. But you're just thinking about us four no more. And so he's like, yeah, I got to move on somewhere. I guess I'm going to have to bless Fred because you ain't not getting this. Number 9. Yeah, I'm just going to give you all like 10 today. My God, I did all this work too. I went through all 31 at home. Maybe that was for me, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so number 9. Oh, my God. These are so good, though. I may have to give you all a few more of these next week before we talk about management. We fail to recognize the seed or the soil when we see it. Seed or the soil right in front of us, and we fail to recognize it. We don't get it. I hope y'all taking notes at home. We fail to recognize the seed or the soil. Dr. Murdoch said a seed is a tiny beginning with a huge future.
Yeah.
It's a tiny beginning with a huge future. It's anything that can become more. It's the beginning. It's anything that you can do or know or possess that can improve the lives of another.
Yeah.
So thoughts are seeds. Love is a seed. Time is a seed. Money is a seed. Kindness is a seed. Your prayers is a seed. Gratitude is a seed. Now, it may not be your harvest yet, but it can definitely start the process of harvest. Well, I ain't got $5 million, I only got $5. So that. It obviously isn't a harvest, but it is just right as a seed. Zechariah warns us in chapter 4, verse 10 about despising the day of small things. You sitting there looking at that apple seed talking about, psh, that ain't nothing. What's that going to do? That can't. See, I'm listening to them out here. One person said, that's a tree. Another person said, that's trees. See, one person looks at that apple seed and sees an apple seed. Another person looks at that apple seed and sees a tree. Another person looks at that apple seed and sees orchards. Sees a multi-million dollar apple manufacturing plant. Come on. How are you looking at the thing? Do you recognize the seed? Do you recognize the soil? My God, today. Sometimes we don't even recognize the harvest when it arrives. That's number 10. We need to practice recognition, folks. Open your eyes. Oral Roberts used to say, every day a miracle is coming to you or by you. Do you recognize? Do you recognize the harvest that you're, that you, listen, a harvest can be small or great. Some of you city folk, some of you city folk got a little herb garden in your apartment on the windowsill. Grow them little herbs, grow a little lettuce maybe there for a quick salad, right? Right, a little parsley right there, right? Does that take 2 years to grow? No. And even when it's mature, you ain't got but this much to fit it in the windowsill. But you recognize it, it's harvest time. And you go on and pick it. You reap it. And you're thankful, hopefully. Be thankful for the little harvest as well as the big ones. Jesus, can I tell you? Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? Take this from an old farm boy. That lettuce grows faster than peach trees. Somebody got that. I can eat a whole lot of salad while I'm waiting on my peaches. But after a while, I'm going to look out that window and what is that hanging off of that tree? Is that a peach? Yeah. Hallelujah. It may take a little while for some of the harvest. That's okay. But don't overlook all the other little harvests that are happening in between time. Be thankful. Cultivate that attitude of gratitude. That's one of the other ones I ain't got time to get to today. Okay, give me 5 minutes. I'm just going to run through some of these just because you note takers, you can take these down. 11, we all too often sow according to feelings rather than according to inspiration. Yeah. Preacher get up, preach his heart out, teaching you the word of God. Good stuff, man. You back there on your cell phone, balancing your checkbook, whatever. By the end of the sermon, you ain't feeling nothing. They say, well, let's give the man of God an offering for the word he has sown today. And here come your $2. Here come your $2, the same $2 you always give, because that's it. That's all y'all getting from me today. When I came in the door, y'all was getting $2. That's all you were ever going to get. I ain't got time to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to get that 20 that's in the other side of my wallet there. Bishop said, you put that in that wallet compartment that you call ain't got none. I got $2 here and then ain't got none. So y'all getting this $2. 12. We're not in the place of our assignment. Lord Jesus, I wish I had time. Prosperity is associated with your assignment. Now here's just some real quick general principle for you right there. If you're not in the place of your assignment, no wonder you're not reaping as you should. Sometimes, who's this for? This is for somebody on Facebook. Y'all don't have to out yourself. Don't give me no hearts or nothing when I say this. That you may have to exit the place of comfort to enter into the place of promotion. Gwen Marshall was comfortable in the basement over at Studi Middle School, and if she wasn't, she wasn't complaining about it at least. But she had to exit the place of comfort to enter the place of promotion. I sure ain't got time to talk about this. I'm closing my laptop over here, y'all, so y'all know I'm getting ready to exit stage left. 13, we fail to give our seed a specific assignment. My God, I could preach all day on that one. Name your seed. Sometime I'm going to come back and teach y'all about the dynamic name assignment principle. Started with Adam in the garden. We still get to do it today. Can I tell you this real quick? I'm going to. The same soil, oh my God, here's something. The same soil that I put corn seed in, I can put beans in. The same soil that I put beans in, I can put tomato seed in. I'm trying to teach you something real quick. I know my time is up, but get this one. Because this is going to save somebody some heartache right here. The soil doesn't care. If it's good soil, it doesn't care what you name the seed. Jesus! I'm trying to help you. I'm going to close on this one because I'm out of time here. But I want to stay right here for about a minute and a half. Some of you have been hearing Bishop talk about paying off the mortgage on the church. And you say, well, I don't really want to give just to pay a building. Now, let me tell you real quick right there. First of all, you're really missing the vision, which I talked about earlier. But number two, I don't have to sow my seed, please get this, I don't have to sow my seed into the good soil of Deliverance Temple's building campaign because I need a building. I might need a healing. I might need a new job. I might need a new car. I might need a relationship mended. I get to name the seed. Oh, man, y'all missing that. I get to name the seed. The soil is good. The soil don't care. The soil don't care what kind of seed you're planting in it. Man, get that. Somebody get that. That'll change your whole life right there if you get that. You say, oh, well, I was just going to give $5 because, you know, everybody else is giving something. I didn't want to be left out, so I gave $5 to the building campaign. Go, okay, whatever. And you got cancer. Oh, okay. No, you need more than a $5 blessing. And it ain't about the building. It's about good soil, and I'm going to plant my good seed in there. Lord, I gotta quit. Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all ain't getting this. No, First Lady, I gotta quit on them. Listen, that's number what? I was at 13. I may give y'all a few more of these next week and kind of tidy it up. And then we'll spend the remainder of our time next week talking about management, talking about the economy of God. you know, even after the harvest, okay? So hopefully you're getting something out of this. I know I am. And I pray God's blessing upon you richly. We will see you next week right here at the same time. Until then, be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.